read a remarkable statement in the Ramah. Hanose isha b'mokom shadonim b'dinei ovik achavim umesa. Man married a woman in a place where they follow the law of the land, and the woman died. Umesa ishto. Lo yuchal avi ishto o shayosheh olomar. Kol hanose isha al das haminig unose. Cannot say that whoever gets married to a woman does so based upon the prevailing custom. And therefore, in Mesa lo Yorsha Bala, her husband does not inherit her, which is apparently was the custom in those countries. No. You can't say that. And there's no Dina de Machusa in this case. You only say it in certain cases where there is a Hanol a Melech, etc. And you cannot say we're going to automatically follow the law of the land, concludes the Ramah. Yim kein batlu kol dina Yisrael. If you'll say it that way, all of Jewish law will become, chas v'shalom, null and void. Yes, sir.
What's the definition of Hanan HaMelech?
Not for now. Source number two. Source number two is a smart commenting on that very line in the Ramah. V'yim toma. Hakos of Moram means the Ramah in Reish Shem and Reish Memches. This is Shin Samech Tes. That's Reish Memches. Vim also tzavo b'mokom shenogu l'odem b'dinei goyim. If they made a person wrote a will in a place where they normally follow the laws of the non-Jews, ubo achakach l'odem b'dinei Yisrael. Now they wanted to impose Jewish law. Lo arminan Yerusha ein lo hefsek. What does that mean? It means a fellow wrote a will, and the will is followed. And yadunu b'dinei goyim. Wait a minute. Here the Ramah says in Shin Samech Tes, can't do that. And in Reish Memches he says that you should do that. There's a clear contradiction in the words of the Ramah. How do you reconcile this contradiction? An absolute contradiction. V'yesh loma. I'm in source number two, line number five. V'shani hosam kevan shamitzav em meis b'osam mokom shedona b'dinei goyim. The also savo stam b'achav l'ploni. Amina, the vaday dato hoya k'moshe murgol b'fri abrios. The mefarshim b'achav l'ploni kipshuto. B'afilim arishon roi lirash. The details don't matter so much right now. U'mishem hachi pasak shedona b'dinei agoyim. He wrote a will. He's sick. He's old. He's afraid he's going to die. He writes a will, and he means something. What does he mean? He means the prevailing custom to follow the secular law. That's case in Simon Reish Memches, where we in fact follow what he means and apply secular law. Masha Enkein, Kan Banosa Isha, man's getting married. Dibishah Shanosu Zezu, Lohoya Shase Yerusha. We have to hope that a man gets under the chuppah, he's thinking about the Yerusha. I sure hope not. That would not be good. That would not be good at all. Okay? The furthest thing from his mind under the chuppah was to be with the Yerusha. Alright? So now he's not thinking about it. Okay? And it wasn't Shas Yerusha. So it all depends what are you thinking at the time. At the time of the marriage, he's not thinking about what's with the Yerusha. So therefore, we do not follow the law of the land. When he's writing a will, he's certainly thinking about Yerusha. That's what he's writing the will for. He's older. And then you do follow the law of the land. That's going to be the most important source of today's shir, is that Rashba. Okay, what does that mean? Let's apply the principle of Dina de Machusa Dina. We have to follow Dina de Machusa Dina. He says, no. The last two lines. It's a pasuk v'omer midin Torah shebal yorash is ishto. That a husband inherits his wife as a din of the halacha. Okay? And therefore, that prevails. Because you don't apply Dina de Machusa Dina in this case. No, Hanol HaMelech, again, that detail again is not for the discussion. And Abed, and he concludes, Yachufa of Yahishto, Shalyelech lefnei dinei goyim, because if the father of the woman will go to the secular court, he'll win. They tell him, you're not allowed to go to the secular court. The husband gets everything. Ad kan, the distinction of this sma. Very important, this sma, because there were those, I must tell you, that there's often a difference of opinion between what kind of bezin you're talking about in this situation. But once someone told me that he thought that we'll call it a Muncie bezin, told me that one of his colleagues suggested that if you live in a more modern community, that perhaps the halacha should recognize the law of, let's say, of New York State, for example, laws of equitable distribution and things of this nature, because after all, the people in this part of the community are more bound by secular law. In my opinion, it's absolutely not true, based on what we just said now. We just said now that when the person gets married, in the absence of any indication to the contrary, not thinking about what's going to happen if they get divorced, and therefore we have to follow the halacha in such circumstances, whatever the halacha says. This is our first two sources, the Ramah himself. The Sma is a contradiction between two different lines in the Ramah, and he gives a resolution. It depends what you're thinking at the time. When you're getting married, you're not thinking about who's going to inherit whom, but when you're writing a will, you're very much thinking about the laws of inheritance, and therefore you follow what you have indicated based upon the law of the land, as opposed to what the halacha has to say, as the Rama writes in Siman Reish Mem Ches. This is the introduction to this morning's shiur. We go in order. Source 3 tells us something amazing. V'yesh Omrim. This again, this is a Rama. The B'mokam the Satri Hadadi, when things contradict each other. Donin Gamkein v'Yisrael Shilva L'Chavero Shaminik Shamalva L'Ove Gilulim Lo Yucha L'Mokha B'Pokos Mishona HaMashkon. The Azlina Mazeach HaMinik. So you follow the Minik once again. You follow the Minik of the law of the land. In other words, it's not the law of the land Dina de Malchus Adina as such, but what we call Dina de Malchus Adina through the back door, since that's the prevailing custom. So people, when they say things and write things and agree to things, the assumption is they have in mind whatever the law of the land has to tell us. So it's not the law of the land as such, but it's the law of the land because that's the assumption of what the people have in mind. Says source number 4. This is what the Das HaRab, the Ramah speaking. Ach lefiani es daiti, divi HaRab, tzorach li'iyun. Bikir adin. Shekosa v'Rab shlo yuchal l'mocha v'pochos mishonah. Shudoba tamua mo lefiani es daiti, writes the Shach. The cave on the Alpi din Torah, Yochalim Ochaliachal Lamed Yom. We're not going to get into the details of when you can sell a mashkin. It's not the main point. Heich nilmod midine goyim, Levatal din Torah, Chatz v'shalom. So it takes us for your straw, becomes theological already. Not just you can't do it, it's Chatz v'shalom. You can't do these things, it goes against the law of the Torah. V'lo mi boy, you'll also not post, Kim Shesovim, Do Aminan, Dina Machusa, Rak with Devorim, Shem Hanol, Melech. Which again, we're not going to deal with what that means. For lo benish lechavero, and the shulta gibor agrees to that, as he says. Lo nema dinah machus adina, la bedvarom shem melech goes on the hanos, so go on mechosim taxes, vamisios taxes, vechayotzim them. Ava bedvarom shem melech lechavero, ain lo nulad lelo pitar asenu. So for sure you can't follow the law of the land. El afilu, the shah poskim the sovereign. Damina dinah machus abechol davar, hainu. Catch this amazing line. Dafka masha eno neged din torasenu. Elasha eno mafurash etzlenu. Whatever is not against the Torah, because we don't have any law which is explicit, then these other poskim say you follow din de machusa, even if it's not for the coffers of the king. Avalodun bedine agoyim, becholdover neged torasenu? Cholila! Vadalayosa can be Israel. Impossible to say such a thing. He gives an example later on. Hayne Mishum, the last three lines on page 1. The aim of Furash at Slenum, so Yucha Lamoko Achashana below Tvia. Going into all the details I go into now. And therefore, Hilkach, the last line on the first page, Pasak Dazina Mazadina Machusa, Kamen Shayna Din Furash at Slenum, Ukemo Shekosap Iliel, Lamadva Vishema Raven, Avokan, Hadin Furash at Slenum, ובכל הפוסקים, no one disagrees. Therefore, heich nula midini agoyim nahakash dini yisrael cholila. Once again, Rashi b'tshuva, chelik vav, simen reish nundalit, quoted Beis Yosef, end of simen chavav, where man got married, where they followed the dini agoyim, that the husband does not inherit the wife, afal pikein yorash esishto, v'lo shayich b'zay dini d'machus haklau, d'yim kein hakarta kol dini t'har Torah shlema ayin shem sherech. So we have a very powerful statement in the Shach. You can't follow Dina de Machusa unless it's a case where the law is not explicit in the Torah itself. Ask the Chazon Ish. There is no case in the world where the law is not explicit in the Torah. Just need a Talmud Chacham to figure it out. Some things are Psukim and Chumash. Some are Mishnayos. Some are Gevoros. Some are then in the Shulchan Aruch or the Shach. And some require a Godel B'Torah to figure out where is this. It's not anywhere here. Got to go dig here, dig there. There's no such thing. There's no lacuna in halacha. The halacha covers everything. It's got to dig deep enough, be smart enough to figure out where it is. What's the Shach talking about? The problem is, it's not a question against the Shach. The Shach, you know, is someone who, some people can say they can argue with him. He only lived back in the 17th century. It goes back to the Ravid. You can argue. You can't say the Ravid doesn't make sense. Where's the Ravid? It's quoted by the Shach himself in source number 5. This is a direct line of the Ravid that he made reference to, if you recall, the very top line of this page, called page 3. The top line, Shikosavti Lamad Rabashem Ravid. Here is the quote, the Chayani Omer. V'chol Dovash Ein Dina Mefurish Etzleinum Ben Lanu Bo Minig Yudua Shehochin Bo Acha Minhago Shalahem Shekarav Dovazel Dina Mefus Adina Ve'em Dona Api Dina Minhagos. He's not relying on Dina de Mefus Adina. It's only Karov. Which means the minig is to follow. So what is it doing in the Furish B'Torah? Here's my shot. The average Jew doesn't know too much. He knows what it says in the Torah. Hopefully he went to elementary school, or maybe what you call it, a little bit went to yeshiva. So he knows the basics. So if he knows what the basics are, so when Reuven is dealing with Shimon, Reuven went to school, and Shimon went to school. So we all went to school. This is Pashim Mishpatim. The Shom Achinim has this law, Shom Asachar has this law, Shaul has this law. We all learn Chumash and Rashi. So we all know these laws. So since Reuven and Shimon both went to great school and they both learned Mishpatim with Rashi, then they know what the whole law says. So when they contract with each other, presumably they're based upon what they know from the Cheder. Okay? Once something that's much more sophisticated, so neither Reuven nor Shimon knows what the Torah says about something, then it's likely that they have in mind that they're going to apply the Minhag HaMedina, because that's what they know works. They don't know what the Torah is saying. Not that Chas V'Shalom to say, as the Chazon Ish said, there's a lacuna in the Torah. The Torah covers everything. But the average person doesn't know everything. So what he knows, he wants to follow the Torah. That's the assumption. What he doesn't know what the Torah says about him, the likelihood is he's going to follow the Minig. What's the Minig? The Minig is likely to be based upon Dina de Machusa. So it's again, Dina de Machusa is with the back door. Because it's Dina de Machusa for Jew versus non-Jew, when it's Jew versus Jew, it gets in throughout, through Minhag HaMedina. It's not Dina Machusa as such. That's the minute to follow this din. Why is it the minute? Because most people don't know what the Torah Kadosha says. Not that it's not Mefurish somewhere. It's not Mefurish in the case where the average individual knows. That's my understanding of the Ravid and the Shach. And the Chazon Ish is exactly the same thing. He doesn't see that within the words of the Shach and the Ravid. That's why he has the Kasha. But our answer is exactly what he said. Is really what the Ravid and the Shach have in mind in the first place. Okay?
Wouldn't that answer the Rama also then, by the case of Katzla and the Mashkan?
So, Let's go slow. So back to the Rama. So we all saw that everyone's talking about a Beis Yosef in Simon Chavav, who quotes the Rashba. So I'm going to do something which is very unusual. I'm going to first read the Beis Yosef. Rav Yosef Karo lived in the 16th century. And after we finish the Beis Yosef, we'll go back to the Rashba, who he's quoting. Because we're going to see soon something which is quite remarkable, that the Beis Yosef quoted only a part of the Rashba. And this omission of the other part led to, in my mind, tremendous confusion. So I want to first show you the Beis Yosef, because the whole world that deals about this, the Ramah and the Shach and all the other poskim after, they're all basing themselves on the Beis Yosef's citation of the Rashba. So we're going to read source number 6 slowly, and we'll see what happens, and then we'll see source number 7, and you'll see the distinctions between one and the other. This is a little textual analysis, which I believe is very critical. So please be patient as we read the Beis Yosef in source number 6. Kosa v'rajva, Rav, Reish, and Dalet. What's the case? The case is going to be different. Echad shemesa bito, man lost a daughter. V'tova es chasono v'akos agoyim, sheyachzalo kol an adunya. He wants all the money back, the father. V'tana, she'afal pi shebedinei Yisrael ha'bal yorosh es ishto. So his son-in-law should get all the money. Kevan shakol yodim sheheim hochem bedinei agoyim, harei kol anos ha'isha sham, kilu hisna kein. As it says in Ksubas Samach Zayin, Gamle de Arvia Isha Gova Purna Mehem. What does that mean? That means if you learn Sugis HaShas, you know that in certain cases you can only collect from Karka. You can't collect from a Talfa. And Ksubas is one of them. But if you lived in Arabia, the land is all sand dunes. Nothing's worthless. What's worth something? They are camels. So how can it be? It's against all the earlier sources. The answer is that the fact that we collect only from land, real estate, because in the average person's mind, that's the most significant piece of property. And movables don't mean that much. But in Arabia, the gamels mean more than the land. Let's just say it. Fine. This is a person's thoughts. The same way should apply over here. You follow whatever is prevailing custom. I come to the question, a very brief question, as it's quoted over here. Again, let's repeat one more time. What happened? There was three people involved total. A total of one, two, three people. A father, a daughter, and a son-in-law. The daughter died. By Jewish law, the husband gets it, the son-in-law. And the father, his father wants to take all the money. So what's the din? Says the Rashba, as it's quoted over here, Heshiv, Kol Dover Shebemomon Tano Kayim. Ooh. He starts off by saying, a major rule. You can make any condition you want in monetary matters. Ksubas involved. Uvema Sami Kosi Vishalmi. You in fact can make an explicit condition that in fact the father will inherit and not the husband. How do you like that? You can make such a condition if you do it. Avolino came, but to follow this custom without a precondition, just because it happens to be secular law, the osur. You know what's going on in the Rashba? If you decide when you get married to make this condition that the father should inherit and not the husband, but if you didn't, and you want to, 10 years later, you decide you want to follow this because it happens to be the custom of the law of the land, chalila. Nirulita also vishuch mechakes agoyim is copying the goyim. V'zera shesira told the fnayim, this week's pasha, v'el ha-mishpat in the first pasuk, asher tosim the fnayim, below lefnei goyim. That's a very big chiddush in Rashba. Lefnei below lefnei goyim means that's what Rabbi Schwartz is going to talk about later. Not to go to secular court. We're discussing over here going to Bezdin. Okay. V'af al pi sheshneim rotzim bekach v'udav shebemamon. It's still not allowed. You said before, what do you say? Kol dover shebemamon tano kayim. Here's an exception. Why? V'udav shebemamon. And they normally it would work. No, here's an exception. Shlohinicha Torah esa'om shulanach lalo. This is already getting now poetic, right? God, we are the nation that's God's inheritance, right? This week's parsha. V'isim miskula mikol ha'amim al ritzonim on their will sheyakru chukos hagoyim v'dineim. We know that Rashi tells in the first pasuk in this week's parsha you can't go to secular court because you're miyaker esa'alilim. That goes on going to secular court. The Rashba applies to going to you applying secular law. It's a jump. V'lo afilu lava lefneim ledin afilu b'davar shedineim kedinei Yisrael. You can't even go to a secular court where they're going to rule according to Jewish law. So certainly, he says, you cannot apply secular law. One could argue with that, certainly. Why is that a kal v'chomer? Fine. And the right from Gamliel Avia Torah. The mistake, it's no comparison to the camels in Arabia. The ksuva ben adin, I think, was from the dimine. I feel a miglima da katsvoi. Every ksuva they say, take the shirt off your back. Elashe, shamar abonon, she'ain smicha sa'isha alayem, mishum shigvi yasal bisman maruba. Takes a long time. That shirt off your back will be long gone 50 years later when they should select the ksuva. Alright? Uba arav yashakol eskeyem begamalin. smicha asaleim. They hold that the camels is the most important property in Arabia. Avaluma mizeh lerech v'daki agoyim v'mishpatayim chas v'sholom liyam kodosh lino kocha. Whoa, that's polemics. V'kol shkeinim atli yosifu lachto lako nachla asomech ha-meshenes konarotsus hazev osav ela mapil chomos ha-torah v'oker shorosh v'adav v'atorah miyodu tevakesh.
Wow, this is powerful lines in Rashba.
Umalanu the Sifri HaKodesh HaMekudoshim Shechibu lanu Rebbe V'yachar Ravina Ravashi.
Why do you have the Mishnah Gemara?
Close the Mishnah, close the Gemara.
Yilamdu as Bnei Adinei Agoyim.
They should teach their children secular law.
In the seminaries of the non-Jews.
Cholila, they'll take us out to be Israel. Chas v'sholom shematach Torah sak aleim.
End quote.
Wow. That is powerful stuff.
And therefore, the Ramah in Shin Samach Tes that we began with, and the Shach in Shin Samach Tes, and the Reish Reb Ches, and all the things we said now, is based upon this citation of the Beis Yosef, the name of the Rashba. If you read this, you get an impression. I have to admit, you get an impression that applying secular law in a Bezin is very problematic. Although, the Sma did allow for the fact that if they made that condition at a time when they were thinking about it, the Ramah and Reish Reb Ches said it would work. When you're writing a will, and you want the will to go in a certain way, which doesn't go according to the halacha, that the Ramah said would work. But in the case when you're getting married, you're not thinking about the Yerusha at that time, it happens to be Minhag HaMedina, then in fact would not work. Then we had in Siman Ayin Gimel issues, what if the din is Mefurush and not Mefurush for Dina Yisrael? As well. My Chiddush for today, any base HaMedish lo Chiddush, but learning the Sanhedrin this year in the yeshiva, and although everything until now I knew before and I even wrote about before, I understood for the first time that the Beis Yosef citation of the Rashba is incomplete, and therefore I believe there's absolutely nothing wrong with two individuals agreeing in advance that whatever disagreements they have before them will be applied, will be heard in the Bezin Shel Yisrael, but they will apply secular law. Even if you look at the Beis Yosef citation, he starts off that way. He says, "Kol davish l'mavam tano kayim." And what is no good? What's no good is lino kain. What does lino kain mean? As a matter of custom, without any explicit condition on the part of the parties, that it should be an automatic, a given, a default. That's what the Rashba says is chas v'sholom. But for two parties to contract to follow secular law and be passing by Bezdin, he never said you can't do it. But it's not so explicit, and that's why people missed that point. And they thought that the Rashba said that even to agree to be bound by secular law, all those curses come upon you. Well, as we will see momentarily, not only did he not say it, he didn't even say it here. He said exactly the reverse. Let's take a look again at source number 7, which is a complete version of the Rashba. I just took out the parts which were either not relevant or which was already cited in the Beis Yosef.
Why would the Bezdin want to appeal over the evidence, follow secular law, even if the two litigants are agreeing?
The answer is, two litigants can agree to whatever they want. And once they agreed, a Bezdin is responsible to adjudicate between them based on their agreement. That's the short answer to your question. Let's read source number 7. The story is much more complex. Reuven had his daughter Leah marry Shimon. That's what we had so far, right? We just put in names. Reuven is the father, Leah is the daughter, Shimon is the husband. So far. And it was in the dunya. But now comes a new story. V'yodol obas. What? A granddaughter? We never had the granddaughter before. Where's the granddaughter? Beis Yosef left it out. Why? I don't know. V'chakach meisa Leah. That we had the Nebuch, the daughter died first, this we knew. V'chakach, v'chazman, meisa, gamken, abbas, she'odolo. Oh, a whole new story over here. The granddaughter died. Poor fellow. He lost his daughter. He lost his granddaughter. And who's left living? He, who is a father and grandfather, and his son-in-law, who Debuch, also a Debuch, lost his wife and lost his daughter. Now the question becomes, who gets what? Watch this. Achshav amad Ruvain, v'tova b'dinei agoyim, she'yachzir lo also mamon an adunya, she'ichtas lo le'abito. He wants the money back. Afal pisha bal yorash es ishto, v'oves bito. So now this guy, Shimon, wins on all levels by Torah law. He inherits his wife and inherits his daughter. And the Nebuch and his Shver gets zero by Din Torah. V'dinei Yisrael, to'an v'yomer, en lochosh li'ushas abal, Kevin Shakol Yodin Shem Holka Bedini Agoyim Bakre Kol Anosi Isha Shav Kilu Leis Nakein Ksubas Ayin Gamla Da Arviya etc. Fine. Then he says Tikla She Kol Bal Chov Gover Metalvin Diyasmi. Period. Okay, fine. Now comes the second critical point, which is not anywhere the Beis Yosef. Vayirusha Sa'av V'nichsei Habas. What about the fact that the father will say I can collect from my deceased daughter, that all belongs to the father, not to the grandfather. Toein, Shamelech Chokak Binimusov. There's an actual law on the books. Shekol Sheyomus Havla Tov Zman Yadua Shema Sheyesh Lomitzad Ha'aim Lior Sheyo'aim Vedina Demachus Adina. Now the grandfather wants to take whatever was belonged to his granddaughter based upon the law of the land. I repeat, two separate claims he has. When he wants that the money which the husband should get, he wants to get it based upon what? The minute. When he wants to get what the daughter, the granddaughter, has, he wants to get it based upon what? The law of the land. You follow? Two different points that the grandfather is making. He wants to beat up on his son-in-law with respect to the daughter's Yerusha based upon the minute. And as far as the granddaughter's Yerusha, based upon what? The law of the land. Is it clear? You know what the Beis Yosef left out half the shall, half the case. Watch the answer. Tshuva. First line to say. Same thing, the same as we had in the Beis Yosef. Now we turn to the next page. Page, it's called page number 4. Fine. Umosifani. Because the Yerushalmi says, what happened? They make a condition. What happened? The Rishama says explicitly. What does it say there? Hani de Katsnin and Mises below Bonim Tade Mura Le Beinasha Tznoi Maman Akayim. It says the Feirish. The Beis Yosef only made an allusion to it. Umosif Ani Alzeh, writes the Rashba, Shebechol Mokom Shenogu Lahasnos Velasos Kazeh Tnai. If that's the custom, they make this condition. Afil Anosim Shem Stam Govim Mehem in Mesa below Bonim. Shekola nose stam al da tanoeg shom b'Yisrael nose. V'zeh shekaru v'perek ha-makabal d'rishas hedjot. Can you imagine that? If there is a custom which is not based on secular law, it's just a custom. We follow the custom even if it's not made explicit by the parties. U'mikol makom, says the Rashba. Lino came to follow a particular custom which, when there's no contract between them. Why should you follow it? Meshu minik bishpar agoyim? That's terrible. Then he goes the whole thing that the Rashbuk was saw in Beis Yosef. Mechakas agoyim, if they have no goyim, you know nicha toras am. Period. Al keinanu potmeim, mokom ha-mishpat b'yirchem, mokom Torah b'yisroon ta'at, ech nosu yad v'klal dvorim al elu, shasrosin Torah shleim shalanu. Can't allow that. What can you not allow? You cannot allow that in the absence of an explicit condition between the parties, and you follow a custom which is based on secular law. That is a no-no. And that's correct. That is a no-no. U'mamomon yishana lirosh shaloka Torah senu. It's terrible if he wins the case and he collects against the law of the Torah. Period. And he could, with dot. Avalilmol mizeh lelich b'dachi agoyim v'mishpateim chas v'sholom lam kolosh lino kocha. Period. It's all discussing what so far? The argument with respect to the estate of the daughter, Leah. Because her father wanted to get her estate based on what? Based on a minig, which in turn is based on the law of the land. Chas v'shol. There was no explicit condition, And it wasn't a neutral mitigation which was not based on the law of the land. Either of those would have been okay. Watch now. Watch now. For Koshkeinim Atli Yosifu Lachto Lako Nachasa Oval Habonim. Oh, this line has nothing to do with what the Beis Yosef quoted, half quote. We're talking about only one party. This Reuven, Shimon, and Leah. No! There's a daughter, I call her Rachel, and the granddaughter. Now, Shimon wants to possess, to inherit the money which belonged to his daughter Rachel, and the grandfather wants the money. Here is another story. We know that, as a general principle, it's impossible to make a condition to undo blood relative Yerusha. Chukas Mishpat, Rambam writes, and although we say, generally speaking, tonight, Shema Mamon is Kayim in Dine Mamonis, right? Matam Ashikosa Matam Dine Mamon is Kayim. The exception is Yerusha. But what Yerusha? Yerusha blood relatives. It was a Psuk of Mechumish. Yerusha Zabal is an exception. You are able to make a condition to undo Yerusha Zabal. Mishnayas and Ksubis, because Yerusha Zabal may only be the Rabbanon, and even if it's the right, it's a separate of She'er, not the blood relative. Oh, so the first part of the fight about a custom relates to inheriting whether a husband inherits or not. With respect to a father inheriting, you can't, there's no way to make a condition against that. Let's go watch this. Someone relies on the Mishnah Konarotzitz, also Matvil Chomas HaTorah, Va'okah Shonof, Shor Shonof, etc., etc., etc. And it's nothing to do with Dina Machusa. It's Exhale, as we saw before. V'im Noma Kane, skipping some lines. If the Sanach is based, but la Yerushas b'no ha-bechor. Now, b'no ha-bechor is in the Torah, the blood relative. There's no way to undo that. The kol anachlos, v'tivat shabatim abonim. Or you perish the thought that the daughter should get equal rights as the son, which you know is against the psukim in the Torah. As a total aside, my personal view, as I printed, I didn't spoke about it here once before, I believe, is that in fact these days, we should arrange that the daughter should inherit equally with the son, but not through the laws of inheritance. Impossible. Only through a shtar chatzi zachar, which is, we spoke about in the past, about an indebtedness, but not for now. But just putting this out. Let's go a little bit further. Watch this. And then he says, "Umalano sifri akoda shabakudashim shechibu lano rabbi v'akavinu ravashi, lanas v'em b'dini agoyim, v'amaspun b'dini agoyim, cholila lo tegdos v'yisroel chatzi shalom, shematach ator le'asak." That's what we saw. But we saw this in the Beis Yosef referring to a completely different part. To a part which was, in fact, how should we say it, contractable to go against the laws of the Torah. But in point of fact, the Rashba never said it about that. The Rashba said these powerful lines are about a case which you cannot contract against the Torah. Blood relatives, Yerushas, Chukas Mishpat, like Yisra V'Heter. So there's a total disconnect over here. And not just to prove my point, we're going to read the end of the Rashba, which is not quoted at all in the Beis Yosef. Watch this. B'mashi Yisrael, Osim Yisrael, Chaveru Midas Atzmo, Ka'osa She'armu Perakama Degit, Kolash Toros Olos Varkol Shalahen, Ksheirin, Chutz Migitei Noshin, Dakshin and Kaposik Matonik O Shtoros Hafil Shtorah Matana, B'maikoni Vay Shtorah Chasma V'yamahu, a document written by Goyim is worthless, U'parkinan, Tani Chutz Migitei Noshin, because the army, Mishim Dina de Machusa Dina. Oh! So if the Dina de Machusa is that a document written by non-Jewish people is valid, it's valid. Explains the Rashba. Hello. Afal Pisha Mitzad Dina HaMelech. Eino Moil. Kevin Mishim Matona Ein Boto Welles LaMelech. He gains nothing from this. But Kevon Shazam Midato Osam Atnosov Yaakov, you did it from your own free will, and you wrote a document which is acceptable in the secular court. Hare Kibel Olav Lelech Vazam Bedini Hamachus, Shoma Kol Shtar Shiala Barkol Shiola Vyikne, Uvidovish Shibamamon Yochol the Shabed Atmo, Veliten Mishalo Shalom and Adin. As it says, Master Shomachinam Lioska Shoel. Who can you argue with the Mishtar but Avagav Davi Asmachta? End quote. So the opposite is true. The Rashba says explicitly that if the parties want to agree in advance that they're going to be bound by secular law and Bezmu will pass in the secular law, they have absolutely every right to do so, and Bezdin must pass in the secular law. The Rashba said before, why bother going to the Sifrei Kodesh? Just go to the secular law school, go to Columbia Law School, and forget about going to the Beis Medrash and Yeshiva. No! Look carefully in the words. That's only going to be true if that's the default position. If that's the default position, that you're going to follow the laws of the secular government against the laws of the Torah, then you can close the Gemara and go to law school. Chas v'shalom. But if in a default case, you're going to follow the laws of the Torah, just that when the two parties contract in advance to follow the secular law, we'll follow the secular law. You can't say, close the Gemara, forget about Rabbi Yehuda, Nasi, Avinu, Rav Ashi. You have to know what they say for the simple default case. Because in a default case, when no one's contrary to the contrary, you have to follow the Torah law. Guess what? If you're going to pass enough DNA Torah, you're going to have to, if not go to Columbia Law School, find out what the law books say. Because the law books will tell you what the minig is based upon Dina de Malchusa. I'm going to tell you a personal story. This is one of the reasons I became involved in the Bezdin of America. Way back, about 20 years ago, I was asked to sit on a Din Torah. And without going into any details, it was a Din Torah between members of two different Young Israel synagogues. I'm using the word Young Israel synagogue just to mean they weren't Hasidim, you know, it was a Young Israel synagogue. I don't have to say any more about that. So, one member of the Young Israel synagogue chose me. I happen to be a Young Israel rabbi. The other Young Israel member did not choose his Young Israel rabbi. Oh, no. He went to Hasidim in Borough Park. Okay? Honest Hasidim. These are all honest people. No, I'm saying it for a reason. Unfortunately, there is a bad rap, and sometimes there are people who are not 100% honest, and there's honest people. And they had to choose a third, you know, a Zablo. And the third was also a Hasidic a Jew from Muncie. Honest as the day is long. But completely honest people. Good. I sit at a Din Torah, and I have to do with title insurance, a complicated story. And I said, look, this fellow who does title insurance deals with many, many different kinds of customers. Most of them are either non-Jews or non-observant Jews. And whenever these deals are done, it's obvious to anyone that what's going to rule in the case of a dispute is the secular law, and the cost is based upon the secular law. Now, he happens to have one individual of his many, many customers who happens to be an Orthodox Jew. He decided, okay, we'll take him to a Bezdin. He said, that's fine, to go to Bezdin, it's the way it belongs in Bezdin. But Bezdin should apply the secular law and the custom, which that's the way he deals with all his other customers. After all, they signed the contract, they didn't consult with Diana before they signed the contract, they consulted with lawyers. Why did they consult with lawyers? Because they understood that because their understanding is based upon what the secular law says and the custom which they prevailed, that he's doing 95% of his business is that way. You want 5% to suddenly change a whole different set of rules? They came back to me. They said to me like this, Rabbi, so then we have to study secular law. They were calling this Rashba. I said, yeah, yes. Not all, I don't know what the Torah says, but in cases where there's an agreement and it's based upon either explicitly invoking secular law or implicitly doing so based on the custom, etc. You have to know what it says. I was outvoted 2-1 by honest people. So when shortly thereafter the Bezdin of America was sort of reconstituted to involve himself more in Dine Torah, I said, I'm in. Because that's how we in our Bezdin feel, that if in fact this is the custom, and that there's no reason why we shouldn't be following this custom. And if it's explicitly contracted, it can even be going whatever they say, as long as it's not going against the laws of Yerusha. Yerusha, you can't. It's like Issa Vehet, you can't do it. Chukas Mishpat. It's a coke of Yerusha, not just plain monetary law. That's the second half of the Rashi, which is not even found at all in the Beis Yosef. But in general law, so we had a case not long ago in the Bezdin. I was not involved in this case. I think it had to do with Ohio law, if I'm not mistaken. People from Ohio, they said, they wrote it out, we're going to follow Ohio law. And one of the Dayanim said, I can't do this. It's against the Rashba, against the Beis Yosef. Chas v'shalom, he gave all the polemics, and he actually, in fact, refused to sit on the Bezna law because of this case. Because he understood, he understood the Rashba, as the Beis Yosef quoted it, to be Eish Lahav, a fire against this. But if you read the Rashba, he says exactly the reverse. You can do it if you write explicitly you want Ohio law to govern in some monetary matter. So unfortunately, I think he only had a partial text. This is very distinguished and honest and principled rabbi. Oh, now I'm going to try to prove it to you from even a later source, which is the Tumim, source number 8. So Tumim, source number 8, written by Rabbi Yonis and Abishitz, who lived already there, talking about in the 17th century, going to the 18th century. Rabbi Yonis and Abishitz was one of the Gedolei Olam, everyone knows who he was. And he has the following. I'm going to read it to you. This is in source number 8. Now we're going getting into Simen Chavav. Simen Chavav is, I'm sure, Rabbi Schwartz will talk about. I'm not going to go past his time, don't worry. He's going to talk about Simen Chavav, which means you're not allowed to go to secular court. Okay? But look at this. Look what he says. For Tzarek Loma, the Vadai Ihisna Kain Bishar Shanofal Beneim Divrei Ribin. Right now, there's a fight over something. Pshita Lomahani Tznai V'Kinyan Lavar Din Torah. If now, when the fight breaks out, you decide you want to be bound by secular law, can't do that. Raku Kozov came at Chila, Bias Ksivas Hashtar B'Kinyan Sura Lada B'Negoyim. No! From the very beginning, they made a deal that they want Ohio law to govern if there's a dispute, and the Bezin should decide according to Ohio law. Imkein Lohoya Kavanos Liyak Hashem Avodah Zorah. No, he's not going to go to secular court. Raksha Baldino, Yaslo, Biratsan, Belit, Sorek, Dino, Klal. Kfiat Din, Vanim, Asuma, Solom. You don't expect us to ever go to any court, not secular, not Jewish. He'll just give you the money based upon Ohio law. Derech Moshel, Shem Yavar, Shvius, Shafal Piken, Yiflo, Bedinim, Asolom. We can make a condition. I'm going to ask, you know, She Lo Tashmiteni, Shvius, etc., etc. To pay for Geneva. That we know is legitimate. We saw in the Rashba. That happens to be Dinu Mosolim. So in Jewish law, Shomer Chinam doesn't pay. In Goyish law, Shomer Chinam does pay. So I'll say, listen, mister, Reuben says, Shimon, if it gets stolen, you're going to pay me as according to secular law. Because we're going to make a condition which happens to dovetail with the secular law. V'zayasi b'tzon natov, v'alzeh yotzno. No court, no bez, nothing. V'yimachakach, b'giyat man v'chaveil v'moyen l'kayim tzno. The guy who was stolen said, no, I want to go back to cheder, pashas mishpatim, v'shom mechinim is potim in agneva. Imkein keva d'me'adin, nischaya v'kach, rak bezin shi yisroyim poskim lo. Imkein habikigavra alma, because he won't come into a secular, to a bezin. The less they dina b'dina Yisrael, the muta lelech b'dina umas olam. We'll see soon. If the guy won't show up in bed, he can take him to second of the court. V'en kan tnai lavral divrei Torah b'echleit. Ki tno hoya shechaver yakayim dina umas olam b'rirotzon. But it's all up dinver if klal. That's the precondition. V'im hu achakach memoin havikin gavar alim v'osi shap. V'zeh abetz ksimus hashtar. Aval achakach v'shekvoris kilav dam river b'neim zebeko. Now that having a fight, his ratzav afilu b'kinyim shiraduna b'neim goyim. They should go to secular court. V'lo mikenem esimus hashtar pshita d'lo shayach v'zamashik asavti v'atnai v'akinyin hu behechad lava divrei toru botla mikol v'hoyalo siya klalu klal. So therefore nothing happens. It's usur. Forget it. I call batel. That's only when they decide they go to secular court, even following secular law, it's implicit in the Sefer Tumim, when they get into a fight. But if, when things are lovey-dovey, when they're first contracting, they agree that the law will be whatever they want to agree to, that's 100% fine. That's exactly what the Tshuva Tirajma said. Kol Tanai Shuvah Mamun Kayam, and the best in Shal Yisrael will apply the secular law. This came up with regard to the prenup that we're involved in. There were some women for whose protection the prenup was fundamentally made, who didn't want to get involved because they felt that if they followed the Jewish law,
they'll get less money in the division of assets in terms of equitable distribution, things of this nature, maintenance, v'chule, v'chule, alimony, the whole story. Fine. So there was preventing them from starting the prenup, which can end up being agudas, which is much worse. So Rav Zalman Nechemiah Goldberg, Shalita, said, no problem. They can agree in advance to be bound by the secular law. The secular law of the time, of the agreement. In other words, they're not going to be bound by the law at the time of the divorce, but they, right now, if we're going to agree in the contract, we can agree to be bound by any laws we want, husband and wife. It's exactly what the Rashba said. You can agree when you're getting married that the husband will not inherit the wife against the affairs you did in the Shulchan Aruch. So here too, you can agree that if they break up, that the husband will give the wife more than he's required to give her by Din Torah. Rav Dan Nechemiah says, it's a big sibah. I'm giving you more than you're entitled to. No problem. It happens to coincide with secular law. So be it. And there were people who attacked him, etc., etc. But of course, as I always feel, my Rebbe Rav Zalman Nechemiah is right, and we try to prove that he's right over here too. The truth is, because there were opponents, we don't want to talk about any opponents, the language of our prenup is, we're going to follow equitable distribution based on, I think, the Uniform Commercial Code, something UCC, is that I get the right Rosh Tavis, which is not the law in any of the 50 states of the Union. It's just an approximation of what it is, and that's what we did it to and even those who oppose should agree that it should be okay. And if it's California law, it's called community property. Again, UCC, we didn't follow California law. For those who want that, they want that. But in my opinion, I'm nobody. Rav Zalman Nechemiah said, if you want to say we're going to be bound in our division of assets and alimony, etc., by New York State law as it is right now in 2016, you may do so. And I just think I proved to you conclusively that's what the Rashba said, which is exactly the opposite of what he seemed to say based upon a quick reading of the Beis Yosef. The careful reading I showed you before, he didn't even say it even there. Oh, this is my main point for today's shiur. I only have another to go. But I felt that to complete the title is Applying Secular Law in Bezdin, I have one more thing to tell you, which is the last few sources. Source number 9 tells us as follows. And this is the first Rashi Ashura by Schwartz will discuss it at great length. You can't go to secular court. What happens? A person went to secular court against the law, against Allah, and he lost. What do we call this? Two bites at the apple. He lost. He had no right to go to secular court. He went and he lost. Oh, he about tshuva. He had the about tshuva movement. He now wants to come to bed and show Yisrael. Yes, Omrim. Shein is kakalo. Ridiculous. Came two bites at the apple. Yes, Omrim. Shein is kakalo. Okay. Vasvar is shown in the Yikra. The Ramah, the first svar is correct. You're not going to. It's ridiculous. You chose your forum. You lost there. Goodbye, Charlie. That last page. This is Siv Beis. Hoyesi ad Akum Takifa Baldino Alam. Feni Yochol Lahatzim Imena B'Dayana Yisrael. We saw this before. He refuses to go to Bezin. What do you do? It's Venu Dayana Yisrael Tchila. And summon it to a Bezin. Im La Rotzalava. He refuses to come. Nota reshus mi bezdin umatzu b'dayane ovegachov mi arbaldino. This is a famous call called the Siruv for the Heter HaKos. Guy refuses to come. You go to the bezdin, give him recourse to take him to secular court. How can that be? Ve'elam ishpadam ashatosum lefneim. Yom yakashem alilim. The answer is, if you have a choice, when it's a choice to go to secular court or to Jewish court, and you opt to go to secular court, you are miyak eshem alidim. You are raising the luster of the secular court by choosing to go there. You could have gone to a bezdim. But if the guy refuses to go to a bezdim, you have no alternative. You went to the bezdim, they gave you recourse to go to the secular court. You're not getting any luster to the secular court. You have no alternative. You have to get your money back. You have to get your money back. Bezdim gave you reshus, get your money back. You're not miyak eshem alidim at all. Atkan. Here's the problem. In both of these cases, the problem is, you may win in secular court money to which you're not entitled by Jewish law. The guy is a fool. If you would have gone to Bezin, the law would have been such and such. By, in effect, either he's taking you to secular court, or he refuses to come and you end up taking him to secular court, he ends up losing even more money than he would have lost according to the laws of the Torah. Can you keep that? Or is that ill-gotten gains?
So the Nesiva says you can't keep it. Can't keep it. It's been both 10 and 11. Aval ma'bal din bi'atzmi odeya shechayev lo api din Torah v'alei l'tzorach l'shalin lo v'afilim ha'mesupuk sorach lodon l'feidayon ha'yisrael sh'yasofik gezel tachas yodo. The case of the guy who wants a second bite of the apple. He lost in secular court. And now he wants to go to Bezin. Bezin will send him packing. Okay, so he sends packing. But I know, I'm the one who won in secular court, that what I gained in secular court is more than the Torah to give me. I have to give it back. I have to give him a refund. This bum gets a refund. Rabbo said, the later poskim say that there's nobody who follows this Mesivus. Nobody. Nobody. We don't know why yet. 11. V'nireh, when he gets rishus to go to secular court, the may be open, sh'yadua ha'chol v'dayana Yisrael. Milva b'shtar. Milva peh, yevshel l'don dayana Yisrael itin rishus. No, see, the eima eno chayav lo kol kach. How can they give him recourse to go to secular court? Maybe, in secular court, he will get more money than the Torah grants him. This is what the Nesivus says. But I told you before, there's nobody who follows the Nesivus. That's what the later apostles will say. Why not? See here, I'm going to tell you the kitzur nimitz. I only have a few minutes. Tell you a very big chiddush. The eilam mishpatim mashatos from the fnehem means you're not permitted to go to secular court. And if you go to secular court, then even if both parties agree to secular court, they have no right to go there. And if they follow the secular law in secular court, there's an additional violation of following secular law, etc. And for this reason, even if you win in secular court, you want to do tshuva, you have to give back the money that the Torah would not grant you, as the Nesivus is completely correct in that respect. However, again, I don't have all these Ma'amar Komos printed out because it's too long. If you look at the Or Zeruah, in the opening page of Choshen Mishpat, before he even gets to Baba Kama, it's four simonim about Dayonis. This is a very major chiddush. We know that even B'nai Noach, Noachide, one of their seven mitzvahs didn't. And even Jews are also B'nai Noach, and therefore their dinim would apply to us as well. And the only reason they don't is because of this pasuk, this week's parsha. Ve'ela mishpatim asher tosam lefneihem. You have no right to go to a secular court. Anyone who goes to a secular court has no right to win any money based upon dinim. What happens if they both agree to go? They're both against halacha. What happens if one party goes to secular court and the other one says, no, I want to go to Bezin? Those are these two cases. One is the defendant, one is the plaintiff. Then, believe it or not, if the innocent victim who was forced to go to summon in secular court, which is the Siv Beis, or is forced to respond in secular court, which is Sif Aleph, if he emerges victorious in secular court, he never was in violation of Elam HaShpoch HaTosma Fame. He was forced to go there by the other guy. He's permitted to hold on to the money, which is his according to secular law, because dinim apply to B'nai Noach, and Jews are also B'nai Noach, when there's no violation of the Eila Mishpotim Ashatosim Lefneim. And therefore, once again, if you were given permission to go to secular court by a Bezin, because the other guy won't come to Bezin, or if you were taken to secular court by someone who refuses to go to Bezin, and you win, you can keep the money against the Nesivus. Why? Because Dine Noach would apply to us, save for the prohibition of Eilam Hashpatim, which you didn't violate. You want to go to Bezin all along. So there's a second case, aside from the case with the contract, the second case where you apply secular law in Bezin is in a situation in which one party wanted to go to Bezin, the other party wanted to go to secular court. The fellow who wanted to go to Bezin won. He's permitted to hold the money, which is granted to him by secular law, in the secular court. And the Bezin, he comes to Bezin, the Nesivus says he comes to Bezin, he'll tell him give the money back. No! But any Bezin says, they'll tell you to keep the money. And they can give you a shush to go to court without knowing for sure that you were going to win in Dine HaTorah against the Nesivus for this reason. So to summarize, although generally speaking, we have to follow the Mishpatim, and almost never, permitted to go on our own to secular court. The only time is there's no recourse in Bezin. Criminal cases, abuse cases, when there's no recourse in Bezin, you may go to secular court. But whenever there's a monetary dispute which you can adjudicate in Bezin, you may not go to secular court. That's Rabbi Schwartz and Shia, not going to be Master Gvul. But I'm giving you cases where you can agree in advance to be bound by secular law to be adjudicated in a Beis Din. There's nothing wrong with it. The Rashi says it's 100% permissible, opposite of what seems to be the superficial read of the Beis Yosef, and therefore it applies to prenups, it applies to contracts, it applies to all situations. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you.